welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
The save the day that we did on Sunday been running through my mind, and appreciate Josh talking about that. It really was awesome. And then to start the whole thing off, Gina went and played Dallas Holmes, His Last Days, I'll Rise Again. And man, back in the 80s, I wore that tape out, but thank you so much, Gina. It's great to be with you tonight. Isaac, I don't know how many of you got an update, but they said they'd got home, was unpacking and getting ready for grandparents to come and see the new baby that they hadn't got to see yet. So pretty exciting time for them. I wished he was here, but I'm glad he's there. By the time this is over, you'll probably wish he was here too. One thing about tonight is there's no end to the content that a person could preach on. I've never really done a Good Friday service. We always at Eagleville, we had a Thursday night communion, and it was just very special. And I don't know if it's just timing or why, but we never really did a Good Friday service. But glad to be a part of it. About 2 weeks ago, Isaac gave me his notes. And so I know I won't do it justice, and I pray someday he preaches this message to us so we can hear it in its reality. But I'm going to try to preach somebody else's notes tonight, which I've never done before. So that might turn out really, really unique. Before we begin, would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful as we reflect on what Good Friday means to us, how it just means everything, Lord. It really does. And I pray, Father, that as we take time here to remember and to rejoice and to put our thoughts in order, preparing for Easter Sunday, I pray that you would help us to see with and to understand with your heart, Lord, what this meant to you. I just pray for each one here and pray, God, that you could help us to respond to whatever you might say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess we shouldn't just assume that everybody knows what Good Friday means, but it literally is about God becoming man and coming down to earth. Every time I think about God becoming man, I think about the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5, and it talks about how he come in likeness of a man, in the form of man, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but come in the likeness of man. And it said, then he become obedient to death, even the death on the cross. And, you know, that's what Good Friday's about. I mean, it's about God with us, Emmanuel, God coming down to reveal to us in through Christ who he is and what he wants to do. This is really ringing in my ears. I don't know if you just turn the volume down a little bit. I speak loud anyway. But God came down to be man, but also to take our place in judgment. In judgment of our sin. Also, he was crucified, beaten, humiliated, and all of that so that the debt of our sin could be paid in full. Today, we remember that event, his death on the cross. Isaac said here that Good Friday had been observed since AD 100. I thought that was unique. It caused me to go and look on Google for a little history of Good Friday. But I'm going to be talking today about two equal realities. It was a very dark day. Literally, it was a dark day. Not only a dark day for those that were there, can you imagine? I mean, just, can you imagine if you was Peter, or Peter's wife, rather. And he come home one day and he said, "Honey, I met a man today. And I don't know what it is about this man, but I'm going to go follow him." Well, she might say, "Honey, how long are you going to be gone?" "I don't know." "Well, how much money are you going to get to follow this guy?" "Well, I don't think there's any money involved, but I just have got to follow this guy." Can you imagine what Mrs. Simon would have been thinking? And these guys that had followed him for 3 years, just think about the hopes and dreams that they put on Jesus. You know, and in reality, they was thinking that he was going to come as their King of Kings, and he was going to establish his kingdom, and he was going to overthrow the Roman government, and he was going to be their leader. And perhaps they would even get to, you know, be on his cabinet in his castle. I mean, I don't know what they was thinking about, but I can imagine that this day was a day of despair and grief and heartache and shame. I can imagine that they were brokenhearted, and it was a very dark day for them. The second reality we're going to talk about, that, of course, that it was a good day. It was the best day. We call it Good Friday because it was the best day. It was the day that Jesus died for my sin. Jesus died for my iniquity, for my failure, for my shortcoming. Jesus died so that I could have life everlasting. It's a good day. So today, as we look at the dark part of it, let me read to you, there's a lot of scripture here. I know that I put Romans 8:28 in there, which I wanted to read to start with and forgot, but I'm going to read that now. It says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." And we got a little bit more to talk about concerning that verse and another verse like it in the scripture. But in Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour into the ninth hour, there was darkness over the whole land." So not only was it a dark day in the eyes and the hearts of those who followed him, those who loved him, those who served him and did things with him and listened to him, it was a dark day for them, but it was literally a dark day when darkness for 3 hours fell upon this earth. And I can't imagine this type of darkness. I mean, it doesn't really describe this darkness that happened. I know whenever we think about the death angel passing over, and they talked about in that plague in Egypt, that it was a dark day, such a dark day that they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. It was that dark. And I don't know if this was the same thing, but it seems like it was, you know, a noticeably a dark day. And I've always felt like that meant that God had to turn his back upon the Son of God as he hung there on the cross and bore our iniquity, as our sin was put upon him, that God literally could not look upon his sin. And he turned his back. And you know, the Bible said that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And when he turned his back on this earth, it went dark. I don't know if I'm theologically correct or not, but that's always how I felt. It says, "Darkness over the whole land, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out," and I know I'm going to mess this up, "cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Can you imagine the agony of Jesus hanging on the cross in the darkness of God turning his back on him for the first time in history past? One of the names for Jesus is Ancient of Days. He came from eternity past. He'd always been with God. He'd never been separated from God, but because of my sin, he bore that separation so that I don't have to. Said some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." It says, "Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it up to him to drink." I just, I think, what an awful thing to do. Have you ever thought that? I mean, it's like vinegar on a sponge, stuck on a reed and stuck up to his mouth to give him a drink. Maybe it was a good thing. I don't know. But it sounds like an awful thing. And the rest said, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and it says that he yielded up his spirit. That means that he gave his life. He surrendered it. Jesus, it says, then behold, verse 51, behold, the veil of the temple, Josh talked about this Sunday morning, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. I don't know if you've ever heard this thing described, but it's like 18 feet tall and 6 inches thick. And it was tore from the top to the bottom. Nobody but God could have done that. It says the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And it says there that, so when the centurion, those that were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. So we see here from this portion of Scripture the characteristics of this judgment that fell on Jesus because of me. And there's three things in the characteristics of this judgment. First of all, the darkness covered the land. And secondly, it says that he cried out in agony. And thirdly, there was an earthquake. And I, you know, just when you think about that earthquake and you think about people coming out of the grave, I mean, you could just feel the grief and the anguish of God as he rocked this world over the death of his son. It says here that similar characteristics happen when judgment comes at the end of the age. And we find this in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. It says, and I looked, and he opened the sixth seal. I'm sorry I didn't have PowerPoints tonight, and I'm not giving you time to read in your Bibles, but there's a lot of scripture here. You just have to take my word for it, I guess. He said, he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. It says, the sun become black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become like blood, and the stars from heaven fell to the earth as a fig drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And it says, the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. I mean, this is the judgment of God upon the earth because of their sin. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, they were so distraught over the judgment of God, they was begging for the rocks to fall on. It says, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great is his wrath, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And we see here in this judgment that's coming in the book of Revelation, we see earthquake, we see darkness, and we see the crying out in agony. Isn't that very unique? When Jesus took our judgment, he did those things for us so that we don't have to. If we would accept him as Savior of our life, we don't have to stand in the judgment it's talking about here in Revelation chapter 6. He took the earthquake, he took the darkness, he took the cry of agony from us so that we don't have to. It says, just like when God will judge sinners in the last days, this was also the dark day of judgment. Jesus didn't deserve any judgment, yet he took the judgment for us. Jesus deserved the exact opposite the praise. I felt like we praised tonight as beginning with rise again, I'll rise again, and talking about save the day and going on to the songs that Debbie had for us. I mean, the praise that we ought to offer up to our Savior. He was a perfect man. He was creator of those who killed him. Creator of those who killed him. While completely innocent, he was murdered. That was the dark part of this day. Doesn't paint a very pretty picture, but you know, this is what the disciples were feeling. Some of them fled from him. They all, you know, immediately fled, but some of them kind of come back to the cross. I know John was there, and Jesus spoke to John there at the cross, and Peter was lurking in the shadows, you know, and I'm sure some of the others were standing off, afar off, looking, watching, seeing what was going to happen. It was a dark day for them, but we know now that it was a good day. What we see is pure evil in this life. You just think about how they beat him, how they bruised him, how they spat upon him, how they pulled his beard, how they placed that crown of thorns upon his head, how they nailed him to the cross. I mean, you think about all of those things, how they lashed him with the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes. Seems like an evil thing. But God always has a good plan. Let me read again. Romans 6:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose." I want to kind of turn a little bit and talk about a man in the Old Testament who was a likeness of Christ. His name was Joseph. You know, Joseph was called the dreamer by his brothers. He was the favored one because he had a coat of many colors that his father had given to him, and they was jealous of him. They hated him, it said. Can you imagine? They hated him. One day they was out in the fields and they was tending the sheep, and Joseph's dad had sent Joseph to find out what his brothers was doing and to bring back a report. And they seen him come, and they recognized him because of the coat of many colors, and said, "Here comes that dreamer." And they said, "Let's get rid of him so we don't have to deal with him anymore." And some of them wanted to kill him immediately, and they throwed him down in this well until they figured out what to do, and they ended up selling him to a group of Ishmaelites that was passing by on their way to Egypt. Joseph went to Egypt with them as their slave, and he was sold as a slave to Potiphar's house. And you guys know the story of Joseph. After his brothers sold him into slavery, it says that he was wrongfully accused of adultery. Can you imagine this innocent young boy? And this woman who desired him accused him of raping her. He was thrown in prison for that. He was in jail for many years, and finally there was an opportunity where he got to interpret dreams for these two men that worked for the king, and the dreams come true. And one of them, the dream was that he was going to lose his head, and the other one was that his dream was that his head would be restored back to his rightful position as cupbearer. And Joseph said, "You know, when you get with the king," told the cupbearer, "when you get with the king, just remember me." Well, years went by. The cupbearer forgot. And one day, you guys know, the king had a dream. Two dreams. And they was very frightening to the king because they was so real to him. And finally, the cupbearer remembered. And he called for Joseph. And you know the story. Joseph got exalted to greatness, second to the king, second to Pharaoh. And one day his brothers come by, needing food because of the drought. Just to make a long story short, In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, Joseph talking to his brothers, he said, "As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." And this is why Joseph becomes a type of Christ, because of the picture of salvation that we see in Joseph going ahead of them and being there whenever the drought come, so that he could rescue his brothers and his father. The death of Jesus, while these horrific things happened to Jesus on that dark day, God oversaw it with a good plan at the end. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death." And God did that so that we might have life everlasting. The Bible says here, how could anything good, or how could Good Friday describe anything good? All people deserve judgment. The Bible literally says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned." Now think about this. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I'm so thankful that's not a standalone verse. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We don't measure up. We never will. We can't be good enough. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I can feel the judgment of that when I say it. I feel the heaviness of that when I read those words, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And it hits us like a ton of bricks. I mean, it hits you right between the eyes. We've sinned against God, and we've fallen short of His glory. And there's no hope. It's a hopeless situation. If Jesus would have died on the cross and hung there, and then they took Him down, and they put Him in a tomb, and we go every year and commemorate that tomb, and go and visit Him in that tomb, and think about how wonderful His life was, it's meaningless. That's why I said I thank God that that's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning. It's the goodness of why we call Friday good. Because even though he died on that cross and he went to the grave, they said he buried him in a borrowed grave, in a borrowed tomb. And even though he laid there for 3 days, brothers and sisters, I don't want to ruin it for Brad, but Easter's coming. What seemed for 3 days like the end of the world was just the beginning. I've got a couple more verses I want to read before we close. First of all, we talked about the judgment. First of all, of Christ, the innocent judged for the guilty. And then we talked about the final judgment of God judging this earth for 7 years while He pours out His wrath upon the ungodly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, For we all must appear. Now, don't forget the other, "for all have sinned." For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. in the good part of that verse. Isaiah 53:5, I think that's exactly what Josh read at the beginning of this service, and this is where we're going to close. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I thank the Lord that I don't have to stand in judgment someday because of what Jesus did on the cross. I accepted him as my Savior. I ask him to forgive me of my sin. That verse, Romans 3:23, has no judgment on me anymore because my sins have been forgiven. The Bible says they've been washed as white as snow. They've been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's the forgiveness of God. We might still remember. I remember most of them. The older I get, the more I forget. But only God can forget those things that we've done because he's God. And I pray that your sins are forgotten because they've been forgiven. And we're going to have a song of invitation. Invitation is a time to respond to what God says to you. A time to come and make a decision or stay and make a decision. You make a decision either way. I know for many years I made the wrong decision about God. For many years I stood in rebellion against God until one day God really hit me right between the eyes, woke me up, and I repented and I sought his forgiveness. As we have this song of invitation, I'm not going to stand up here. And if you need me, I'll be sitting right or standing right there. But if you need somebody to come and pray with you, there's people here that'll pray with you. But this Good Friday, if you've never accepted the forgiveness of Jesus, the sacrificial death of him dying on the cross for your sin, if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life, this Good Friday could become the best Friday you've ever had. As we stand and sing, I don't even have the name of the song here. Debbie, what is it?
101. How deep the Father's love for us.
As we stand and sing this, if you need to make a decision about God, I pray that you do. But that's between you and God. And I pray that this Good Friday becomes a very good Friday for you.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.